Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us together again. Feed from your word. Commit today's ministration into your hands. We ask that you open our ears. Is there a commandment to obey? Is there an example to follow? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a principle to adopt? Help us, Holy Spirit. Open our hearts as we receive from you this morning. We do not look unto man, look unto you. Wait for your presence. We wait to hear from you. We wait for a word from you. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic of my message today is overcoming temptations. Overcoming temptations. And my scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. And it, as the tradition, it's not the tradition, and as Pastor has said, give room to public reading. And I'm following Brother Elijah's steps too. So we're going to read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Should we read this? Moreover, brethren, let's read together. Moreover, brethren, I want to make sure we're reading. I'm not the only one. Oh, you want to read this one? Moreover, brethren, I will not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. By the way, that is my favorite scripture. So, this morning, I want us to look at what is temptation, what is trial. Sometimes we interchange temptation and trial. They are similar, just a little bit different. A trial is a test of faith in which you experience, the Bible definition really, is the test of faith in which you experience trouble or adversity. What is trouble? What is adversity? An unfavorable situation. A situation that is not good. An adversity. And some of life. Challenges. Trials. Problems. You know? And they never end. Problems never end. When you are ending one. Yes. My cousin came to me last Sunday. And he said, you know, I've not been to church for a long time. But I went to church today and the pastor annoyed me. I said, what did the pastor say? And the pastor said, I want to pray for you that all your problems will finish. And I, how can all your problems finish? Unless you are dead. So trials are testing situations. They come to test your faith. Now, temptation is a trial. Already said what trials. Temptation is a trial where you have the choice of being faithful or unfaithful. God. a choice. When it's a temptation, it's a choice of you being either faithful. Like Luke chapter 4, Jesus just went through 40 days of no food, no water. Bible didn't say no water, because I had some people want to emulate Jesus. Didn't go without food. He went without food for 40 days. And the devil came and said, okay, now let me come and tempt you so that I can misuse your authority if you are the Son of God. And Jesus resisted him, replied him with the Holy Scripture. It is written. That's an example of the trial that temptation came out from and how it overcome. So when you are tempted, you are being enticed to act obedience to God's word. You are being enticed to disobedience. You are being, you know, inclined towards sin. That's what temptation is. It's a pull to violate God's commandments. When you get yourself in a situation of, should I do it? Should I do it not? Should I go? Should I come? You know, you are having to make a decision. And the outcome of that decision will determine whether you are following God's way or you are following man's way or you are following your own desires. So, having done with definitions, I want to say categorically that there is no one single person sitting here or wherever that does not go through trial and test. In fact, as you are finishing one, you are entering into another one. Because the day the test finishes, you probably don't have anything to do with your life again. Praise the Lord. Now, how do they come? Why do we have these temptations? What brings these trials about? How do we come about these trials? Well, it could be you're doing what the Yoruba call a fowofa. It could be your own doing. It could lead yourself into trouble. And it could also be a situation that is beyond control. For example, maybe the trial you are facing now is that you are in debt. You are owing money. You know, there's a saying that he who goes a borrowing goes, who knows the end? He who goes a borrowing goes a sorrowing. He who goes a borrowing goes a sorrowing. Perhaps you are in some debt. That I will classify as you brought it upon yourself. I've learned long ago that it is not advisable, it is dangerous, it could lead you in trouble. But that didn't stop me. You remember the first testimony I shared here? I said I even went to borrow. Okay? So, or maybe it's an accident. You have no control over that. Accidents are things that you do not plan for. Okay? It could be a sickness. It could be a disaster. It could be a costly mistake. So, it could be from you, it could be not from you. But then the trial still come, and somehow it's just like that. Sometimes the trial is a manipulation of others or by others. Some people say, let's go and do this together. Join me. I'm having a current case of egbekegbe. For those who don't understand, egbekegbe means moving with wrong crowd, bad gang. I mean, you know, the people you surround yourself with, it's easy to manipulate you. It's easy. You know, I was a Christian, born again, minister. I had a little problem. And the person that stood up to help me was an unbeliever, paraku, unbeliever. And she said, come, look, forget all this problem, come. So I went to her house. She took very good care of me. In fact, I slept like a baby. I said, just relax. After 1 week, go back, go and face your phone. Just relax, forget everything now. And within that 1 week, she would say, okay, let's go out. Let's take some alcohol. And I'll say, no. She said, what's wrong with you? Let's take it. Joya, give her. And I will take. And you know what's funny? When I take, she will say, Dickinessy. She will still mock me. But she will take me and say, let's go. So one day I said, I think when they go out in the night, they leave me. So once I said, you're always leaving me home in the night. Let me follow you. So I follow them. And we go to the bar. I said, so are we just going to sit down here and order drink and snack? He said, why are we sitting down here? Are we waiting for some people to come? I didn't understand. And then when it was, we just sat down. When it was 12 midnight, I said, please, I want to go. They said, go home. The night has just started. When you move with bad crowd. When you follow others instead of following the way God has laid out things. I'd like us to see Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. You shall not circulate a false report. Verse 1. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. So when you follow a crowd to do evil, when you follow your friends, you are paving way for trials to come into your life. The third thing I'm looking at is unjustifiable curiosity. What do I mean? Curiosity that is unjustified. I mean, curiosity is a desire for knowledge. You are curious. You want to know. Okay? Curiosity that is unjustified can bring trouble in your life. In Yoruba, I'll call that atojubo. I think people understand Yoruba, atojubo. You know, curiosity. You want to know. It leads to sin. A desire for knowledge that leads to sin. It's unjustified. There are some things you should not bother being curious about. There are some things you should not go and look after. I was talking to Brad Olapo. He told me something some time ago, and I told him to remind me today. So I remember. So we're talking in the car, and we're talking about squirrel. Is it squirrel? Okay, is it okay? Okay. And he was saying something. We're talking about Aaron, bearing food, you know. And he said, if you cut the tail of Okete squirrel and then you drop it somewhere and you go and eat that Okete, if you come back the next day, you meet that Okete where the tail is. So that's check YouTube now. See that? So that stirred my curiosity. Do you understand? But why would I go and look for Okete tail and put somewhere? If I get that, how can the Okete that we have killed get back there the next day? Do you understand? But curiosity will make some people go and find it out. It's not justified. That kind of curiosity can get you into trouble. I also know of somebody that went to visit her grandparents, and somehow, after some while, she started seeing funny things. She said she saw people walking with their heads, people, and they said, shh, keep quiet. Did you use that soap to wash your face? And they said, and sometimes when I go to the market, I start wondering, are people walking with their heads? That curiosity will lead some people to go and look for that soap, you know. You want to see whether people are really walking with their heads. And then you go and see what you don't see and run mental. So unjustifiable curiosity will get you into trouble, attract trials into your life. Like I said, it's called atojubo. Inordinate desires, inappropriate cravings that distract us from heavenly things. Cravings that lead to sin. Any desire that does not seek to do the good that God would have you do, it's inordinate. It's inappropriate. Sometimes it's just the desire to take, get. There used to be a lady, a minister's wife, in my former church. She would come to church and say, Auntie, I like batayin, shesheran, mudema lorarwe. And she's going to buy it. No, she will look for it. I don't know. She won't ask me where, but be sure she will get it. Everything she sees. Auntie, gele yin, chef ishe koni, eba mi no wate mi, emi no mara. She just wants to take. Inordinate desires. I'd like us to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Check your desires, please. Are they necessary? Must you have everything? Must everything be as I want it, as I desire it? Colossians. Oh, thank you. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify. Put them in control so that they don't lead you to temptation, to trials. Now, I'm also aware that some trials could be like a thorn in the flesh. we talked about it in one of our studies. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And that is Paul. It's Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And lest I should be exalted above measure by abundance of revelations. You know, we had abundance of revelations. And so that he cannot, you know, be exalted because of the abundance of revelation. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted. Concerning this thing, I pleaded, as the said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Apostle Paul is telling us that I have it all. These are my credentials. His credentials can be found in Philippians 3. His credentials, Philippians 3, 5 to 6. Okay, let me start from 4. Although I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I, more so, circumcised on the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, and he goes on, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I'm a perfect Christian. I'm like God. I'm like Jesus, but nobody is like Jesus. And when you become like that, you even feel a sense of entitlement that God has to do this for me. What am I saying? Some of us are like that too. I can identify. Maybe you had a good upbringing, good family, everything was good. Best schools available, best husband, best wife, business doing fine. You're reading your Bible every day. You've read the whole Bible. You can quote Bible. When it comes to spiritual things, you're top notch. You've done everything you need to do, and so you stand perfect before God. But none is perfect for God before God. And so, sometimes we have this thorn in the flesh to show us that without God, without Christ, we can do nothing. It could be an addiction. It could be a family scar. It could be an unhealthy habit. It could be sin that we can't shake, that we need to run to God for. The thorn in the flesh leads us to God. We all have. I have. Just like the Apostle Paul. But he didn't tell us what his thorn in the flesh is. So, I won't tell you what my thorn in the flesh is. You know yours. Everybody knows their own. If you don't have this thorn in the flesh, you know what you begin to do? You begin to do like this. What did they do? Buga. Say this is the Buga sign. You begin to Buga. I'm better than all of you. What do you know? Which school did you go to? Did you have this? Did you have time? But that thing will keep you saying, no. You know, I went to the office of my friend. She's a high court judge. And before she became a judge, she was telling us some of the things that happened. Like they said, she was powerful. She had done this. She has done this. And she made a statement. Her subordinates were there, her clerks, and she said, now the person saying "emile rukwe lason lason" is like doors always open for her. But she sees herself as "emile rukwe lason lason." She didn't see herself as, I'm God's favorite child. Every other person is not as. It's because I am good. You know, you can feel it's because I am good. There was a day Pastor Shola came to share with us, prisons department. And he talked about, I pray one day, I'm sure he's hearing me, he'll share that message with us. He talked about the thorn in the flesh. And he talked about his own. And at the end of that message, he taught us to say, God, don't take away my thorn in the flesh. Because it is this my thorn in the flesh that keeps me coming back to you. Don't take it away. So that I always know that without you, another thing that leads us into trials is fear of losing something or someone. I don't know if you've ever been to the hospital before. And then you take a patient. I've experienced it twice. And you take a patient and they say, they've done everything they know to do. Come. Have you had that before? I was once in the hospital and the person we took, did. He had something, there was a black mark here, and it was burning him. And the doctors could not find anything. They said, we should come and remove him from the hospital. They say, Effie, SLA tall. So when you're afraid, I don't want this person to die. They have said, Kafi SLA tall. So, Edekalof SLA tall. But I always say something about consulting the devil for the solution. I don't know. There's no free issue, Olori Ofe. There's no free gift from the devil. You know, we interpret Olori Ofe as grace. But no, I don't want to see that. I want to see that free, you know, giving somebody something free. The devil doesn't have anything free. If he gives you one, he takes four or five back. I remember somebody in my neighborhood. You know, I had, there was this Afa. I had a Muslim friend. There was this Afa that told us about two friends were disputing over a property. They built the property together. And when you are friends and you are building together, you don't have anything, you know. You want to believe we are friends, we're friends for life. We won't have anything separating us. But they had problems. And they found themselves in court. So one of the friends told the Afa that he wanted to win the case. And the next day was the case. That he just wanted to win the case. That's all he wanted. He said, okay, no problem. Shelley Perron. I know their vow. I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm talking to the person that was me. Shelley Perron, can you kill a goat? Say, yes, I can kill a goat. That's all it requires. You just kill goats. Can you kill goats? The man said he can kill goats. He gave him goats to kill. And as he put his knife to the throat of the goat to kill the goat, he started hearing his friend's voice pleading, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me. And he dropped the knife and ran mad. Do you know what the goat he was killing was meant to represent? It was meant to represent his friend. But they didn't tell him. They just said, can you kill goats? There's no free gift that comes from the devil. So, sometimes when we are desperate, we go and look for solutions that land us into more trouble. These are different situations that can make us compromise our integrity and give way to gratification. You know, when you are tempted and you fall, you have gratified that temptation and you get into more trouble. But temptation is not bad. Temptation, it's not bad. It's actually good. It's necessary for our spiritual growth. Otherwise, we won't be able to choose between good and bad and prove the seriousness of our faith. If there are no temptations, you won't be able to prove. One of my mentors, the registrar of the Bible school that I attended, Pastor Kayode, and one day I said, I don't know how we got to say, and I start saying that you are a honest person, you have integrity. And he said, wait, have you ever tried me with integrity? Have you ever put money in my care and see whether I will steal it or not? I said, no. So how can you say that to me? Because I have not been tested. So temptations give us an opportunity to choose. And when you make a choice, you will know where you stand spiritually. You will know the seriousness of your faith. If you're not faced with temptation and everything is going on fine, then you just think that I'm a perfect Christian. I don't steal. Have you had opportunity to steal? Have you had opportunity to steal? Maybe to take a little. Maybe somebody hands you their purse and say, keep this purse for me. And you see, if I take 1 or 2,000, this person won't do now. Have you had that exposure before you say, I don't steal? So temptation is good. It helps us. I've also had a situation, I think, when I was newly born again, we had a sister that, it was her wedding, and the groom did not show up. It was her wedding. It was in Makurdi. That's where I served. The groom did not show up. And we waited, and waited, and waited, and waited. The groom did not come home, and we went back home. And somebody asked me, if you are that woman, what will you do? I said, my cocoa, Christianity, he said, bye. Do you understand that? I'll first of all remove my Christianity and put it somewhere, and then I'll deal with that person. Oftentimes, we have that kind of situation. Now, I mean, I was born again. I was growing, and you will think that I will say I will go to the word of God. Sometimes we are faced with situations and we make choices that we won't believe we could make. I was talking to somebody. There was a very bad situation, very bad situation. And the person said, Lord, me mind my bag into here. Child of God. Child of God. Child of God. Magbag into here. Concerned her child. Instead of my child to go like that, Magbag into here. What can situation push you into? What can situation push you into? Now, I want to zero in on the verse 13. It says, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. That is where I'm zeroing in now. There have no temptation that has overtaken you except such is common to man. What is that? There's nothing, no temptation, nothing that has happened to you that is not coming, well, that is not common to man. Do you know what that means? It means you won't be the first person it will happen to. You are not also going to be the last person it will happen to. There is no new thing as it was in the beginning, so it is now. So there's nothing that has come to you. The Bible says that it is not common to, it is common to man. That is why that temptation is before you. You say, thank you. What that means is, we've never had this one before. It's just meant to scare the one that the matter concerns. There's nothing new. So there's nothing you are going through. You're not the first. You won't be the last. And your situation cannot be the worst. There was a group of women, they sat together. They wanted to share their problems. Your own is better than mine. And then they sat together. One of them shared with us. He's a pastor. And so this one said their problem. That one said their problem. That one said their problem. And then they kept quiet and said, okay, who wants to exchange which problem? And each person took their own problem and left with it. They were not ready to exchange. Because there's no problem that is greater than the other. I have another example. There's a pastor, Pastor Shorinyo. I usually take him for my prison ministrations. He spent 16 years in the university. 16 years. Said the first year, the first four, he got to final year and discovered that there was something wrong with his results that he used to get into the university. And so he couldn't graduate. So went through JAMB again. The second 4 years, he joined cultism and he was rusticated. So he did JAMB again and went for another 4 years. I can't remember what. Anyway, he used 16 years. I currently have somebody who is in trouble in his fourth year and is crying and, you know, all kinds of things. Somebody spent 16 years and he finished. He became a graduate after 16 years. So there's nothing new. There's no problem. There's one terrible, in fact, there's some problems, yeah? When you think that you've seen it all, some problems shock you. I had a story, I don't know. It was very good. In fact, I can say that's the most shocking situation I've ever seen in my life. What was the story? I hope you would understand. It took me a while to understand. There was a young man that met a young lady. Let's give them names. Let's call the young man Paul, and he met Mary. And it was a casual relationship. And Mary got pregnant. And Paul disappeared. And Mary had a child. Let's call the child... somebody's giving me the name. Let's call the child... Okay, I'm hearing names. Eh? No, the child is a girl. Stella. So let's go. So Paul and Mary gave back to Stella. And they separated. And they didn't see each other again. They didn't know each other's family. It was what, in those days, I don't know what they call it now. You probably call it, we call it hit and run. You know what hit and run is. So she had no way to locate. And then they went. And they continued with their life. Later on in life, Mary met an elderly man. What name shall we give this elderly man? Let's give him Samson. So Mary met this elderly man called Samson, and they started a relationship. She moved in with him, and they were happy. She sent her daughter. Before then, she was alone. She had sent her daughter abroad, and the daughter had married, had two children, communicate by letter. I don't know whether there was, whether they would use phone, because it's a bit complicated to me. Anyway, Stella wanted to come home. She said, Stella is the daughter of Mary Abit. Thank you. So Stella wanted to come home. Mary wanted Stella to come with her family and meet her. And she was staying with Samson. Good. So they had prepared. She came with two children. And behold, when Stella came with her two children and her husband, guess who her husband was? Paul, the father. In fact, I didn't have any counselor. I was too shocked. No, I didn't. I was too shocked. I always believe I have in relationships. I know the solution. I know, but this one, I didn't. So I said, so what? I think my brother said he was coming from the place or something. I said, so what is the solution? That they have agreed that they should not reveal to Stella that Paul is her father. Yes. That they should allow Stella go back. She went back, go back alone with the children, and Paul will go later, and of course Paul would, I'm sure Paul would not, will disappear from her life, because it's an abomination. But it is done, Abby. So I don't know, have you ever had, I don't know, that kind of situation is so crazy. I'm sure your situation is not as bad as that. Anybody has something as bad as that? Thank God. I'm sure it is not as bad as that. So the Bible says here, it says, no temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man. He said, but God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. You can count on that. God is faithful. He's faithful to do what? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able? Pause. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Not what I am able. What you yourself are able. Let me tell your neighbor, you can handle it. You can handle it. You know, when I face situations and I say, oh, this is bad, but I always say, for God won't let it come my way if I can't handle it. It means I can handle it. The only reason he allowed it is because I can handle it. He will not bring something. He will not allow something that I cannot handle come to me. So I just tell myself, baby, you can handle it. Just find a way. You can handle it. That is what it was said. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. With the temptation, he will make the way of escape. I'm rounding up with the way of escape. What is the way of escape when you have temptations? What is the way of escape? You can run. Flee from temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Can media please help me? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, or follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee, run. I'd also like us to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Let me repeat verse 15. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Get out of the situation immediately. You know, the preceding verse First Corinthians, verse 12. He's telling us that don't assume that because you are a Christian, salvation brings you immunity from earthly consequences of what you do. Because you are a Christian. You think, we had a young single brother in my former church. He was, I don't know, I felt it was bad. I mean, he said his desire, he went on his own. He wanted to go and be ministering to prostitutes. So only him will go and be meeting prostitutes. Bible says, flee all the appearances of evil. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, Pastor Zachary was sharing with us one day. He went for a conference outside the country and he met an old schoolmate. Ah, you are here. How are you? How is everything? I'm here. Are you staying in this hotel? Yes, me too. I'm staying in this hotel. My room is so. Okay, I'll check you up at 7 o'clock. Said he was going to the hotel, he was going to the room. And as he was going, the Holy Spirit told him, he that thinketh he standeth should take heed lest he fall. He said he turned back. What did I say? Flee. He said he turned back immediately. Don't assume that you can handle everything. When it's time to flee, please flee. 2, resist. James chapter 4 verse 7. Say resist the devil. James 4, 7, please. Be reconciled to God. Turn to him. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, the first point, you are the one fleeing. This time you are resisting and the devil is fleeing. Resist when it comes from submitting yourself first to God. So that you can receive. When you submit yourself to God, God, the Holy Spirit begins to alert you. You are getting into trouble. I remember another example. It's still my pastor. My spiritual growth after I left Benue was basically at Lattery. Pastor Bakari was also sharing with us. He said he had a friend, a lady friend. They were just friends, nothing. And he would be disturbing her heart. She would be saying, Tunde Shorai. I said, the way she says it, Tunde Shorai, that the thing enters his body. He said, Shorai. And he begins to long for the Shorai. And then the Holy Spirit warned him. It looks simple enough. Harmless, Abby. This is not that we are playing, and I'm saying Shorai, but he knows the effect of the Shorai on him. The lady probably doesn't know. Resist. Submit to God so that he can help you. Resist. The Holy Spirit will help you. Sing and rejoice. Praise your way through. There's this song we used to sing. Shout hallelujah anyhow. Don't let the devil put you down. When that old man comes your way, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah anyhow. Shouting hallelujah anyhow means in spite of what it is. In spite of this challenge, in spite of this trouble, you are still singing. You are still rejoicing. One, it confuses the devil. Two, it defeats him. It's the choir was singing now. It brings down the wall of Jericho. Even you ordinarily, okay? I scolded somebody. I was angry. You should have done this. And I finished going and person started singing. I was upset. Is it not natural? I mean, when I scold you, you should show remorse. That means what I said didn't enter your body. So when the devil brings his trouble and you start singing, it means what he's doing is not entering your body. You are still singing. It annoys him. It annoys him. I had another story, you know. There was this woman believing God for a child. And she had waited. And they were going to go to the village for Christmas. And somebody told her, I don't know, I think she went somewhere. Probably she went somewhere. I want to believe it's prayer or whatever. And then they told her that when she's going to the village for Christmas, she should go with a child, a baby, like her own. So she was, childbearing age. All her friends were that age. So she found a friend to persuade. And so she went. And everybody was happy. They did party. They thought the child was hers. And they did party. And she danced. The end result is, while she was dancing and rejoicing, some people were angry. That, she's dancing and rejoicing and carrying baby. And so they went to destroy what they used to make her not have a baby. Because they thought it didn't work now. She's rejoicing. It didn't work. She has it. So it defeats the devil. Sing and rejoice in spite of what you are going through. And then you'll be able to handle the temptation. You can confront the temptation with the word of God, like Jesus did when the devil was tempting him. But you have to know and have the word of God ready. The word you don't know, you cannot use. So you can confront with the word of God. You don't have food in the house. Nothing is working. Psalm 46, I think. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Although the Lord will not suffer anything. Once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Are you not a seed? You are sick. Then you are feeling sickness in your body. How about by his stripes? He already finished it. You need to confront the situation. What about when death is facing you? How about I shall not die? But I will live to declare the words of God. You need to have the word of God in you for you to be able to confront that temptation with the word of God. When you have a situation that is beyond you, you know, in our studies we talked about mentoring. When you have a situation that is bigger than you, please ask for help. Develop supportive relationships. Look for friends that prioritize spiritual growth and accountability. Look for friends that will point you in the right direction. Seek counsel from them. Look for friends that will not kill you. I don't mean physically. That when you talk to them, they come to your side. Just as I was talking about constructive criticism in the Bible class, I've had, somehow people find it easy to approach me. There was a pastor's wife, young pastor's wife. She came to me and said, "Pastor, baby, I'm in trouble." I said, "What happened?" She said, "It's my neighbor, blah, 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 blah." She slept with her neighbor. And I said, why did you do that? You were getting too close. Why didn't you tell me? I would have helped you. You got too close. Who managed the situation. At the end of that day, they had to move away from the area. They had to leave the house. I have another person that told me, said, believing God for a child, met an ex-boyfriend. It's usually a problem. I've seen it as a problem between married couples too, when someone ex shows up and the ex becomes a problem. Anyway, this ex showed up and this man had been married for over 10 years and didn't have a child. And the ex said, "I can give you a child. But you know the way we do it. Come and meet me in America. You won't let anybody know. The child will be yours and your husband. Your husband will know." So she came to me. And I said, "It's okay. Sometimes when people have a life crisis, all kinds of things happen." I said, "It's not wrong for you to have that kind of desire. That's it. What did I call it?" I don't know. I found a term for it. I said, "It's not wrong, boo. It's not wrong. Especially because you don't have a child." And this man, so I said, "You buy a ticket and go to America. Who is paying for it? You." "Okay." "To go and sleep with him to have a child." "Okay, what if you don't get pregnant?" "I mean, you've done IVF, you've done everything. What if you don't get pregnant? You've taken your tickets, you've gone." "Okay. What about you even get pregnant? What about if you lose the pregnancy?" "Okay, let's keep going on. What about you even give birth to the child and the child dies?" And she said something. She said, "My husband is good to me. I don't have an excuse to fall back. I don't have an excuse. I'm even looking for an excuse. Maybe the man will fight me. He's so good to me. I don't have any excuse." She identified it's a midlife crisis for the pressure of not having a child. But she looked for who to talk to. That would make her see sense. My friends usually say, "If you want black and white, talk to me. I don't have, not normally I don't look at things in colors. I just give you the black and white of it." So ask for help. talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that will guide you right. That will lead you. That will not make it overcome you. You can't play with that. Sometimes when you bear something alone, it kills you. I'm not talking about physical pain too. You don't have to bear it alone. Find somebody to talk to. Find somebody to be accountable to. You know, if you want to stop something, what you need to do is tell somebody. Maybe I'll tell Rani and say, Rani, you see, I've started watching my Z World program again. I won't come for midweek service, but I desire to come. And you say, no, let's agree you will come. I will help you. And I say, okay. You know, you'll be calling me on Tuesday. Where are you? 3 o'clock. Where are you? 4 o'clock. Abby, I've made myself accountable. I've asked somebody to help me. So you need somebody. Don't keep quiet. Go to somebody. I've also sought help from people to help me. Some things I would not think. I have friends that when we discuss things, you know, we are not the same. The way I would think is not the way you would think. What you will bring is not what I will bring to the table. And so we bring different things to the table, and we're able to put our minds together and do things the proper way. Develop supportive relationships. Don't keep everything to yourself. Don't say, I don't want people to know. I don't know. I don't know why people hide things. I don't know. Things that are not important, you don't want people to know. Things that people can help you with, you don't want people to know. Look for somebody to talk to. Look for somebody you can trust. My final point is that you should pray and seek God's guidance. Pray. Yes, we cannot do without prayer. As Christians, prayer is everything. Prayer is everything. Prayer is everything. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking for directions. Prayer is asking for guidance. I can assure you, if you present something before God and just take 15 minutes, just stay there praying in tongues concerning that issue, He will speak to you. But most times we want to go our own way and then come back to God. But even if you come back to Him, He still will not reject you. He will still answer you. So we need to speak to God. And while you're speaking to God, God will also direct you to who to speak to in the situation you are in. Like I said, there's no situation in isolation, no. Forget it. Whatever it is you are facing, you are not the first person. Can assure you, two, three. I remember one day, Pastor Bakari came to church and said, funny, that's why I love my pastor. One of the things I love about him is really black and white. But there was time he said that his wife and himself, they are always fighting. He has small stature. The wife was bigger than him, so they turned the sitting room to boxing ring. And then he ended with his tea. I'm telling you, my own, if you know you are beating your wife, come out, let's play together. And the men came out, and I'm like, said, come out. There was this thing, it was a midweek service too. I was in church. He said, in the last 1 week, I've been gripped with the spirit of adultery. When I see a woman, I use my eyes to tear her naked. I don't know what is wrong with you. See, I am your pastor. If it's happening to me, it can happen to you. If you are going through it, come out. They came out. Why? It's not hiding. It's when you hide, eh? That thing you hide, eh? You keep on not seeing it. Please, speak out. Pray. Speak out. Consistency in being obedient is key. When you are facing them, be consistent. Let me tell you something. If you give in once, it's harder to resist in the future. Once you give in once, I hope you know that. If you've ever been tempted and you give in once, you just begin. You just know that you'll just be going back. But once you are consistent, not to give in once, stay with God. Ask for yourself. Pray. Because once you give in once, it becomes harder. It becomes harder. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We ask that you expand it into our hearts. We ask that you help us in overcoming our trials. Help us in dealing with temptations that come our way by your word and by your presence and by your spirit and by your help. As we go into this week, we ask that we go triumphing in all that we lay our hands up. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning.